The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My mission is simple: to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Kramer.
Hey, I'm Kramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Kramerica. Other people want to make friends? I'm just trying to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate, teach you. So call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. After another terrific day, a day where the Dow surged 241 points, the S&P pole vaulted 1.09%, and the NASDAQ skyrocketed more than 2%.
That was easy.
Here's a question. What happens if the stocks make a bang, make a comeback? Is anybody ready for that move now that most of the growth-oriented hedge fund managers have given up on Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet? And the stocks and those that still back them are regarded as frauds, knaves, mouthbox, and clown shows. All right, call me a chowderhead. But at the end of the day, these are still fabulous companies, true disruptors. I think it's a mistake to write them off. How many times have I said that? Well, let me go through them one by one. First, there's the F, Facebook. Today, this stock got hit with a slew of price target cuts and a lot of chatter about how the turnaround is still a work in progress. Yet the stock roared higher. Why? Because the important thing here is that a turn is even possible. After all the negativity and disappointment on Wall Street, it seems like the big advertisers, especially the consumer packaged goods plays, like Clorox, that we'll hear later from the show, decided to stick with Facebook. Not only that, advertisers are spending a fortune on Instagram stories. I believe Facebook will be able to monetize many of its other products, and while I can't say it's back, I do think the company's now in a position to underpromise and overdeliver, particularly on expenses. Look, Facebook has done some real bad things. The traditional media companies blast them for good reason. But how the heck else are companies supposed to connect with a demographic that doesn't read or watch TV, that has cut the cord? For advertisers, Facebook, I'm calling it the only game in town. I eyeballed the earnings estimates from the key firms that follow this company, and they're clustered a little bit less than $8 a share for 2019. Even if you assume Facebook only deserves a 20 multiple or to trade at 20 times earnings, which is the lowest most money managers would pay for a company that still has 20% growth, you'd still get $160 stock. That's up $8 from where it's currently trading. Given its newfound expense control and its excellent growth, I'd argue that Facebook deserves a higher multiple. Let's say you value it like Clorox, like a bleach company that had 4% growth, okay? The stock would trade at $184 a share. Now, that's a nice move. How about Amazon? Even after today's run, this stock, this company has become despised on Wall Street. Just despised. It's extraordinary. A month ago, Amazon was trading at $2,000 a share. Everybody loved it. Now it's just below $1,600. Everybody hates it. Spent some time in the 1400s. Egads! People hated me for that. Theoretically, all of Amazon's major businesses have been called into question these days of late as investors try to figure out how the company could have great earnings but come up so short on sales. So short. It's like a penny. We've heard that advertising must be slowing down or that Amazon Web Services is getting beat by Microsoft's Azure after that terrific quarter from Mr. Softy. The stock had a second leg down last week when the smart money concluded that IBM's team up with Red Hat would inevitably challenge Amazon's cloud business. Earlier this week, this happened. Then it got crushed yet again by a new theory. Amazon, which now pays its workers $15 an hour, is losing market share to Walmart and Target, which are now better companies than Amazon, and they pay their workers a lot less. These big box chains are playing to their strong suit, boasting about how brick-and-mortar omnichannel is the most convenient way to shop. And for once, Amazon shareholders are actually taking them seriously. They're quaking, and they're selling.
Sell, 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 sell,
me?
Sell, sell, sell.
Sorry. Big believer in Amazon. They offer advertisers a fabulous opportunity to reach people at the point of sale. That's the best place to get them. I sincerely doubt that IBM's acquisition of Red Hat will hurt Amazon Web Services, which, by the way, has a terrific relationship with Red Hat. I want IBM to succeed, but they're not going to overtake Amazon in the cloud. Too big a lead. Regardless, it's a huge market with enough room for another major player. Above all, though, I just don't think that online shopping or online advertising or cloud infrastructure is slowing down, which means Amazon has got nothing to fear. Next up, Netflix. Okay, this company actually reported a spectacular quarter, but the stock only rallied for a day before giving up all its gains. And then some, it didn't even get a lot more than that, because it was in the grips of a hideous market-wide downturn. Netflix is now off roughly 120 points from its highs here. Stock lost more than a quarter of its value based on, I don't know, valuation. Let me put it this way. You're not just getting that last quarter for free. You're getting the stock at a more than 10% discount to where it was trading before they shot the lights out. It's intriguing. Alphabet is probably the biggest quandary. Geez, you know, Ruth Porat's the CFO. Can I tell you that everyone I know thinks she's one of the smartest people ever? But then you just go and you listen to the horrible things that were said. You know what? I thought Alphabet had a pretty superb quarter. Gave you excellent 20% growth. It's got about $100 billion in the bank. Great balance sheet. Alphabet's mistake, like Amazon. Ruth Porat forecast wrong. Amazon delivered a big earnings beat, but the revenue disappointed from what they said it would be. And look, these are key metrics, and Alphabet got both of them wrong. They forecast wrong revenue, and they forecast wrong earnings. However, if you actually listen to the conference call, which I'm telling you, the algorithms don't, because the smartest people are dumb as wood, it was a terrific call. I read over it. I think that's one reason why the stock has made a dramatic comeback over the past couple of days. Now people are actually reading the call. And even though there were multiple price target cuts, and believe me, frankly, so many people say that the halcyon days are way behind them. I think this is attractive. Plus, we just learned that Alphabet's gotten the go-ahead to start commercializing its Waymo autonomous driving technology, at least in California. Self-driving cars are not in the numbers. They were barely talked about on the call. Lord knows we're so short of truck drivers in this country that, wow, that industry is desperate for self-driving trucks. Waymo's prospects give the company a huge leg up on 2019. Few of the remaining analysts who still like Alphabet, well, they didn't even come out and promote it. I don't know. Everyone's so gun-shy. It's crazy. Okay, now we have a lot of lunacy in this market. Last night after Facebook reported, stock went up about 3 points, then down about 10 points, before rebounding about 6 points to the mid-140s. At the time, I was watching the whole gang of Fang like a hawk. And guess what? Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet practically traded in lockstep and after hours. Lockstep and after hours with Facebook's hours of zigzags. The exact same thing happened again today. They were lockstep. This is, ladies and gentlemen, irrational behavior. But it's the power of the ETFs. When one FANG stock gets wrecked, they all get whacked. When one rallies, they all rally, as we saw today with Facebook only gaining 4% and the rest of FANG following suit. This kind of moronic action is just monumentally stupid. These four companies are all so different. Sure, they each have some sort of overlap, but you know really what they have in common? The fact that put them together using their first letter of their company, and they used to spell the word FANG, which is why we and Mad Money coined the play on words. We coined the acronym 5 years ago. Now, I never thought I'd say this, but I rue the day we created this silly thing. You know, it's good for one day of the year these days. It's this day. All right? That's about all true. I foolishly came up with the darn acronym. Now they're 10 FANG ETFs. They link them all together. It's just shameless, stupid. What, they make a lot of fees? I guess they make a lot of fees doing this stuff. Right? They make fees. Isn't that what it is? There's one more point I want to make. FANG is by no means out of the wood. There are other ETFs that spell it with two A's. FANG! And the other A being Apple, which reports tomorrow. It's entirely possible that Apple talks about a Chinese slowdown. They might even have a miss in service revenue. Or there could be some other issue that I haven't even thought of, some revenue miss that I'm not counting on that will make it. My admonition about owning Apple, not trading it, which I've had for about, I don't know, what do you want to call it, 180 points, look bad. Just as bad as my sticking by Facebook and Amazon and Alphabet. Netflix had not been as a strong backer for me. But unlike the core FANG names, Apple stock is barely down from its highs. So get ready for more short-term volatility, which, of course, is code for vicious, exaggerated declines by ETFs, okay? Plus, I have to admit that the charts here remain terrible, and the newly reformed Facebook could easily roll over tomorrow, taking all of them with it, of course. The bottom line here is that there's a reason these four companies have been able to disrupt entire industries over and over again. And that reason is the fundamentals, not that they're made up with the F and the A and the N and the G. Even when the FANGs screw up, they're still incredible companies. And they are despised now as much as I have ever seen them. And you know what? I don't blame people because they're all linked together with these stupid fees, fee-generating ETFs that everyone just says, hey, don't worry about it. I'm worried about the marketplace. FANG, the stocks, not so much. Tom in New Jersey, Tom.
Hello, Jim. Tom and Joanne in New Jersey.
Good to have you, man.
I'm a builder and an investor.
All right.
I use many suppliers simply because lack of customer service. And this company has made my job work like a well-oiled machine lately. And it's got my attention. I see the sales. I see Home Depot is listening to their customers. Earnings are coming. What's your thoughts, Jim?
Yeah, Home Depot uses Salesforce.com, and they have a tremendous technology group. But I'll tell you what. Here's how stupid we are, Tom. We're in a wave of stupidity. The chart's bad, so we should sell Home Depot. Now, look at this. The stock was at 215. It's now at 175. They got a big buyback. They got a dividend. They got a great balance sheet. How about buying some, and then if they slam it, buying more? What's the matter with that idea? It's called rationality. Let's go to Ryan in Michigan. Please, Ryan.
Hey, Jim, congratulations on getting Golden Tate, but I'm a Cowboys fan.
All right, well, we'll see you two Sundays from now, man. See how you hold up there, okay, in that home game for me.
Right. Jim, yeah. I'm a longtime viewer of your program and only being 19, and I'm currently in a management leadership position in our full-line RV dealership, so I think I'd have some insight. But, Jim, I want to get your take on Thor Industries and Camping World. They currently sit or are at 52-week lows as recently as this week.
Yeah.
Thor recently bought Hymer and became a global company, and also Thor is very diversified in their product offerings.
Well,
you probably saw their September industry wholesale report. They're down almost 29%.
Right, right. Well, here's what's going on. You know, people, the numbers haven't been good for Thor. The numbers are okay for Camping World, but higher gasoline prices made it so that people have been buying fewer of these. Higher interest rates make it so that the market is cooled. They have higher costs for Thor because they assemble a lot of the stuff in Indiana. All these are negative. But you know what? We have heard from Chairman Powell that now's the time to really start raising rates aggressively because we got to drive Thor down to zero. That's the game plan. Now, of course, he's not thinking like that. Only thinking people are thinking like that. All right. I expect more volatility tomorrow after Apple reports, but don't lose sight of the fact that the FANG stocks are backed up by the fundamentals, not just some stupid acronym I came up with. And that's a heck of a lot more meaningful than the wild moves caused by ETFs. Oh, man, money tonight. Clorox has come a long way from cork bottles of bleach, but can it keep cleaning up? Hit a 4% growth. After today's drop, though, you got to figure out maybe it's a stain in your portfolio. I'm going to talk to the CEO. And Wingstop's headed higher yesterday after earnings beat. I don't know, but it then starting to go down. Is it the perfect time to take a bite? I got the CEO. And look for a play that could keep the lights on during the recent bout of volatility. I'm talking to American Electric Power to see if it could pay in a tough market. Well, at least for utilities. So stay with FANG and stay with Kramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag mad tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus,
93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I know everyone's feeling exuberant today. I don't blame you. But let's not forget that there are some very real worries here. Consider the case of Clorox, one of the best operators out there. It's a terrific consumer packaged goods stock, and it's got fantastic leadership. This morning, Clorox reported a strong quarter, modest top and bottom line beat, but management was forced to cut its full-year earnings forecast, which is the last thing you want to hear from this reliable company. The problem, Clorox blamed it on cost and currency headwinds, yet between rising costs, strong dollar taking a little hit next year. The stock sold up nearly 3% on the news, even though it was a big up day. So what do we make of these results? Let's dig deeper with Ben Oduori, the chairman and the CEO of Clorox, find out more about the quarter and what it means for the consumer packaged goods group and, of course, for shareholders. Mr. Dorr, welcome back to Mad Money.
Always good to be back, Jim. Happy Halloween from San Francisco.
Well, right back at you, Beto. Now, this is a quarter that had a lot of what we call puts and takes, and I want to try to get to the bottom of it. You ended up making the number. That's not an issue. You ended up keeping a forecast relatively like many other consumer packaged goods, but I know you're not happy with what's going on with charcoal, and I know you can't be happy with what happened with Renew Life and out-of-stock supply. So can you address those for me? Because these are highly unlike what I expect from Clorox and from you.
Yeah, a lot of puts and takes. So first of all, we grew 4% this last quarter, 6% currency neutral on top of 4% growth last fiscal year. We grew earnings 11%. So those are very good numbers, and especially this tough environment. So we're executing well overall against our plans, and the health of our portfolio is very, very strong. We had two parts of a portfolio that were addressing charcoal, where we're putting stronger plans in place and confident that we can turn the business around in 2019. And Renew Life, we are facing temporary issues that are related to out of stocks following supply chain problems. Again, a very solid business, and we like the long-term trajectory. Overall, we're executing very well in a tough environment, which is why we've been able to hold our sales outlook. And we've taken our earnings outlook down mostly because of lower share repurchases. About 70 to 75% of the lower earnings are due to that. So they're non-operational. What we're executing well, and we're focusing on what we can control.
Now, is it a high-quality problem what happened with Renew Life? In other words, the supply chain problems have to do with so much demand? Or is it just really hard to get product because it's so expensive now to ship things?
Yeah, we're seeing two things. First of all, we've seen very irregular order patterns from major customers, and that is nothing special in the vitamins, minerals, supplements category, but newer to us. And then we've made some integration-related, very good changes for us in the long term that have hurt us in the last quarter. But we're going to benefit from those, and we are now focused on getting the consumer back, and we're doing that with innovation. We're doing that with new packaging graphics. We're doing that with very strong claims, touting the superior value that Renew Life offers to consumers relative to the market leaders. And importantly, we're focused on e-commerce. E-commerce is by far the fastest growing segment in this business. It's growing about 50%, and we're growing market share in e-commerce, so we're doubling down on what's already working.
Okay, so Ben, all the companies complain. It's everybody's got it. It's the higher cost of raw materials, higher cost of logistics. When will these anniversary so that they're not a problem? They shouldn't just continue to go up. There is a limit to how much things can go up endlessly. Because I know you got to take some price. I know that causes a hit short term. But at a certain point, can't we just say, you know what, this is going to end?
Logistics is going to remain a headwind, but less so in the back half for us in the fiscal year as we start to anniversary the run-up. But just to unpack it perhaps a little bit, We're missing about 50,000 truck drivers in this country today, and that's because the job of a truck driver is less attractive today than it was years ago. And as a result, for every available truck, there are 7 available loads, and that's 2 to 3 times higher than years ago. So that all puts pressure on the supply chain costs, and that is why at Clorox, we're leaning into cost savings. We're leaning into margin accretive innovation, and as you noted, we're leaning into pricing. We were the first company in our industry to lean into pricing based on the strength of our portfolio, based on the experience that we have executing price increases, and based on our analytics. And price increases have gone very well out of the gate. Consumption is strong. We've grown 5% volume this last quarter. And this is the key reason why, even in this difficult cost environment, we are projecting gross margin expansion in the back half.
Now, I think some of the analysts were feeling, well, wait a second, you're slowing down your repurchase plan. If things are going to get better in the back half, why not buy stock now before it goes up on better than expected earnings?
Well, you know, we try to be very disciplined with share repurchases. And the reason why we have taken down the outlook and told investors that we're going to buy less this fiscal year had much to do with what's already happened. So this is mostly a case of the share repurchases that we've made in the last 4 months, which have been lower than we anticipated initially. And that's because we have a very disciplined approach to repurchases, and we're doing certainly what's right for shareholders. So, you know, we focus on what we can control. Stock price is not something that we can control. And we're also, per today, not trying to win every single day, but we're trying to win the fiscal year and every 3 years, every 5 years, every 10 years. And certainly, we've done very well for our shareholders over a prolonged period of time. And we've done so by focusing on what we can control. So we'll stay the course on that.
One last thing. You say tariffs could be 5 to 7%. Where does that come into play? Because that worries me from a point of view as a consumer.
Yeah, 5 to 7 cents in earnings is included in our outlook right now, Jim. That's mainly related to two businesses, predominantly Brita, where we're doing some imports. But it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things for the Clorox company. Most of what we manufacture in the United States. The United States is our home, and it's also where we're focused in terms of our growth activities. So we feel like tariffs is something that is not a very big factor in our outlook. Even if it changes in January, we feel like we're in a pretty good shape as far as tariffs are concerned.
Excellent. Okay, well, I think that it's been one of the best performers in the group. It's almost at its high, so I totally understand. That's Ben O'Dor. He's the chairman and CEO of Clorox, which you know has been my favorite in the consumer packaged goods stocks. And I think that even with things that went wrong, the company still did pretty darn good. Man, money's back in.
Coming up, is Wingstop ready to take flight in the heated restaurant space? Kramer's no chicken. He's got the CEO.
There are a lot of drivers for the consumer to have more money in their pocket, more opportunity for indulgent, wonderful occasions like Wingstop.
When Mad Money returns.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
This restaurant is spreading its wings, going digital, and disrupting with delivery. Can Wingstop add some spice to your portfolio?
Okay, what the heck just happened to the stock of Kramer Fave Wingstop? Monday night, the chicken wings and beer chain reported, and the next day the stock got slammed, losing nearly 4% of its value on a very good day for the market. But was the quarter actually bad? I got to tell you, when I go through the numbers, when I look at them, I like what I see. Wingstop delivered a top and bottom line beat. Company's domestic same-store sales rising by 6.3%. Analysts didn't even expect it to do 4.4%. Meanwhile, management raised their full-year earnings forecast. Sure, MLK wasn't a blowout, but there's no universe where those numbers are bad. What went wrong? I think part of it was bad timing. Wingstop had the misfortune reporting on the same day as a Texas Roadhouse, another restaurant chain that delivered disastrous numbers, poisoning the well for the whole group. At the same time, while the stocks pulled back hard from its highs in the recent weeks, okay, so it's not that cheap on an earnings basis. It's run dramatically over the past couple of years. I've been recommending Wingstop aggressively ever since we spoke to the CEO in February of 2017. Since then, it's given us a monster 136% gain. Maybe this pullback is the opportunity. Let's dig deeper with Charlie Morrison, the chairman and CEO of Wingstop, find out more about the quarter and his company. Prospects. Mr. Morrison, welcome back to Mad Money. Good to see you, Charlie. Have a seat. All right, Charlie, a lot of these analysts, I went through every single downgrade. It's like valuation. I saw the same thing only one other time in my career. When Pat Doyle became CEO of Domino's, stock was 11, then it doubled. Mm-hmm. They all said valuation too high. Went to 250 under him. Can't this company have a similar trajectory?
I really believe we can, and I think it starts with our growth trajectory that you've seen already over the past few years, the continued same-store sales growth that we've seen, 14, soon to be 15 consecutive years of positive same-store sales growth, growing our unit count by anywhere from 10 to 12% each and every year. I think it has absolutely the opportunity for that kind of trajectory.
Now, I know that some people are saying, well, wait a second. They are going to have rising construction costs, borrowing costs are going to be higher for the franchisees. They can't maintain that growth. Is that really a factor?
Not for us. Our restaurant investment is quite small at $370,000. We've been able to maintain that average over the last 5 or 6 years. Our franchisees enjoy a great unit economic model, over $1.1 million in average unit volume, a $370,000 investment. That's a 3-to-1 sales to investment ratio. They're going to continue investing as long as everything keeps cooking the way it is.
But you have to tell our viewers that this is not a rainbow pot of gold. It's not easy to get a franchise from you. You have to demonstrate a level of proficiency.
Yeah, you sure do. And actually, about 80% of the franchises that we sell are to our existing franchisees today. And so they've locked up a lot of territory. There's still some available, but we love growing with them. But if you're going to come into the brand, we want you to be an experienced restaurant operator.
Now, one of the things that Pat Doyle did at Domino's was really emphasize technology. I thought that this quarter, you're talking about digital ordering, delivery. You also, of course, did international growth. You're talking about international growth. That's the game plan.
It is the game plan. There are four key drivers. National advertising, as we've scaled our business, is a great opportunity to continue to generate brand awareness for the brand. When you look at digital delivery, both of those two things go hand in hand. We have a fully integrated, seamless process into our restaurants for digital orders to come in. Mm-hmm. Today, 25% of our restaurants, or 25% of our revenue, comes from digital. And then from delivery, we've been testing it for a little over a year, as you know.
Yep.
We just announced that we're going to start the launch of delivery with Los Angeles coming up quickly, followed by Houston. Through 2019, we're going to continue to advance delivery to about 80% of our restaurant base by the end of the year.
Now, you have a partnership with DoorDash. You're very happy with them.
We are very happy with them. We think DoorDash represents the best possible option for merchants like us to make sure that they take care of the logistics side of the equation. We've fully integrated our technology with them, and it's been a fantastic process for our operators. Franchisees love it, and our customers, more importantly, really like the occasion.
Okay, I love international. I think it's a great business. How's it going?
Going great. Just today, Jim, we opened our first restaurant in London.
It is.
Right in Cambridge Circus with a line out the door. It's been fantastic. That's our 10th country.
I just came back from London. They got bad wings over there.
Yeah, well, now not anymore.
All
they
right.
Got Wingstop. So things are looking up. And we're really excited about our international presence. Over 130 locations, continuing to grow. We're going to continue to add 2 to 3 countries every other year, build that foundation with solid infrastructure behind it so that we can continue to grow a long time into the future.
Another thing you do, Charlie, that Domino's did, you like to give special dividends to shareholders. You reward shareholders.
We certainly do. We've done that quite a two times since we've been a public company, even prior to that. In fact, if you look at Wingstop since we've been a public company, over a 200% total shareholder return, inclusive of the strength of the stock as well as the return of capital.
Natural voice recognition. We think voice is very important in technology. Obviously, you do, too.
We do. We've been testing that already. Early stages right now. But what we see is the opportunity to digitize every transaction in Wingstop. No matter if you call, right. if you come in, right. or you use our web applications, we think we have that opportunity well into the future.
Now, could you give me, you wrote, you call it CRM in the conference. Is that Salesforce or is it your own customer relation?
It actually is a third-party product that we're leveraging okay. to build the database. We're also investing in front-end technology, so we'll no longer use a third-party's product for our web and mobile web interfaces. Okay. We're investing our capital to build an infrastructure that we believe is going to be sustainable for delivery as well.
So if you see my number, mm-hmm. will you know what I want?
We will. We'll know that if you're a fan of Lemon Pepper and you haven't ordered any, Jim, we're going to serve up a message to you that says, hey, don't forget to add five more to your order.
Oh, God, that is so good. How about the $15 package? How did that go then?
Very well. It was the first time we've nationally promoted a bundled deal. It happened at a perfect time for us where we had some softness in traffic. We restored traffic growth to the business this year in the third quarter. Now, year to date, positive 6.7 year to date in same store sales with positive traffic
growth. And went better. Each month was better.
Absolutely. Each sequential month, even throughout the third quarter, has been stronger for us.
And the one last question. I don't know if you're the best judge of it because you have such inexpensive but great value. Where do you see the consumer right now? Strong?
It seems very strong. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of drivers for the consumer to have more money in their pocket, more opportunity for indulgent, wonderful occasions like Wingstop and go out and visit. And I think it's reflective in our company's same-store sales growth and overall performance.
Well, I am so glad when you came on the show, I said, this guy's real. The numbers are real. Of course, I looked at the economics of owning one of them because it seemed like so good. It was too good to be true because I'm not already a franchisee. Now, you know, you only want successful people to do it. That's why if you guys want one at home, you got to already have something good before you can get to these guys. That's Charlie Morrison, Chairman and CEO of Wingstop. I hope you see what I see in this company. I see lots of price word up. Stick with Kramer.
Tomorrow. Kick off the trading day with Squawk on the Street. Live from Post 9 at the NYSE.
It was wrong. We all knew that we had been tracked.
Yep.
What a terrible thing. They've gotten rid of tracking, right?
I believe so, yes.
Still angry about it.
I can tell.
I was angry about it.
It all starts at 9 a.m. Eastern.
At the end of a brutal month for the stock market, at least the last two fabulous days aside, what managed to hold up? What stocks managed to go higher since the beginning of October? We've seen some real strength in the recession-proof names, especially utilities. Take American Electric Power, AEP, which owns the largest power transmission network in the United States, along with some major power generation assets. Now, when long-term Treasury yields started ticking higher earlier this year, the utilities got slammed. But thanks to a flight to safety trade, the group got its groove back in October. American Electric Power sports a 3.65% yield, and it will do just fine even in a slowdown, which is why the stock has gained 3.5% since the end of September, even as the average has been hammered. Even better, the company delivered a nice beat and raise quarter last week, but can the stock keep climbing? I don't know. Let's check in with Dick Akins. He's the chairman and CEO of American Electric Power. Learn more about the quarter and where his company is headed. Mr. Akins, welcome back to Mad Money.
Great to be back with you, Jim.
All right, Nick, I got to tell you, your stock has been among the best during the month of October. There are utilities that did better. It almost seemed like in this particular conference call, you lamented how well your stock is doing, given how great your earnings were, lamented to the point that you sang some Chaka Khan. What is that about?
Oh, yeah, they're up for the Rock Hall of Fame this year, so I thought I'd use that as a reference to really trying to give our shareholders that warm and fuzzy feeling going forward.
So it's I feel for you because, baby, when I look at you, I get a warm feeling.
That's right.
Well,
that's
that is you. I should tell people, Nick is deeply involved with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is one of the greatest events in the world in Cleveland, and he takes it to heart. But I have to tell you, Nick, in the end, your stock did do better than most stocks I followed the month of October. And a lot of that is because you had a great quarter. And you should talk about how terrific it really was.
Yeah, we did have a great quarter. Weather obviously drove a lot of it, but obviously the 8.1% dividend increase was really very good for our investors and really showed the confidence that our board has in the business plan going forward. We're obviously seeing 5 to 7% earnings growth rate for the foreseeable future, and certainly we expect dividends to be commensurate with that growth. And we have a solid financial plan, solid company focused on capital deployment, particularly in transmission, in other areas, and certainly it just shows that our business plan going forward is very positive.
Now, Nick, one of the things that happened this quarter that was interesting to me was that you always measure yourself, and your stuff is so transparent, against the GDP of the rest of the country. This time that your areas did not outperform the GDP. Why was that?
Yeah, that's right. For the first time, we see some tempering of the economy, particularly when it's non-oil and gas related. Oil and gas is still doing fine. Industrials grew by 2.4%, but we saw residential and commercial growth come down a little bit. We think it's really driven by a strong dollar. Certainly, some of the tariffs are having an impact on non-oil and gas-related activities, chemicals, and so forth. And we're seeing some level of tempering. So we're watching that very closely as we go forward.
I've been telling people, look, I'm very worried that the economy could slow down, both because of the higher interest rates, 5% mortgage rates, and because of the of what I regard as what tariffs have done historically to the economy. But the reason why I say it is not political. I looked at your numbers. I mean, your numbers clearly indicate that if the economy is no longer accelerating, at least the industrial economy, and that does matter for America.
Yes, it absolutely does, because you're seeing some, it really sort of erodes confidence when you see that kind of activity start to temper in that regard, particularly commercial load, which is your mom and pop stores and commercial big box stores, those kinds of things. And you want to make sure that that continues to progress, because residential will follow. Industrial is doing well, but in only in particular sectors.
Yeah, thank heavens, because you are not a political person. You are straight out just telling us what your data shows. And that is the data that I think that the Fed should be looking at, not just their Federal Reserve books that they have. Now, let me ask you, if the president were to call you and say, you know what, you have a lot of coal in your districts that you serve, I want you to use more coal. Would you be able to explain to him that it's more complex than that?
Yeah, I think I would. It's much more complex than that. And obviously, we're trying to do things to develop those particular coal-related territories, like our Appalachian Sky Initiative that focuses on really a lot of people in those areas are well-versed toward industrial-type activities. So we're trying to get industrials to locate in those particular areas to give options going forward. But for coal, coal-fired generation continues to fall in this country. Certainly exports are a big impact from that perspective, particularly metallurgical coal. We want to see that continue to progress, but I think it's going to be tempered in its approach relative to coal-fired generation. So we have to really think about what that means to the economies in those regions of the country.
I was on the General Electric call, and they've got a straight shooter in there now, Larry Culp. That company badly misjudged something that I think I may have misjudged, which is that with natural gas so cheap, you would expect that a lot of turbines would be built. But the big era of the big project's gone, isn't it?
I think you're seeing a much broader view of resources going forward. Certainly renewables are coming into play. Natural gas is being looked at as a backup source for renewables. But you're also seeing, we view transmission as a resource to bring renewables to market and to be able to optimize the entire grid from a resource perspective. And you're seeing energy efficiency and those smart analytics that are in place relative to the system that are really enabling us not to build that next central station generation facility. So you can expect that to continue to be tempered in the future.
One of the reasons why I've been recommending your stock for years and years and years is you don't take big bets. There are utilities that have built gigantic complexes that have wrecked their balance sheets. That's not AEP style.
That's right. We have thousands and thousands of smaller projects. That's deliberate from our perspective, because we're able to really execution control around these projects and adjust based upon what we're seeing financially. So it really gives us an opportunity to focus on the ins and outs of those kinds of projects to accumulate to really a steady earnings and dividend quality for our shareholders.
Well, that's just what shareholders really want when it comes to utility, which is why I've been recommending you. You take the least risk and you give a consistent return. That's what people want. Thank you to Nick Akins, Chairman, President, CEO of American Electric Power. I don't know, Chaka Khan? Oh, why not? She's fabulous. Mad Money's back after the break. It is time. It's time for the lightning round. the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Ski Daddy? It's time for the lightning round of Kramer's and Money. Let's start with Amy in Nevada. Amy!
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call today.
Quite welcome.
I need your valuable advice. My stock today is Telurian. They announced today that they're not going to acquire the Toshiba Freeport volume. And they're not worried about the trade war with China because they're not going to start trading until 2023. I got my...
Yeah. Okay, well, look, you know, I'm a believer in the chairman. The chairman has not let us down. Here I'm talking about, I'm talking about Sharif Suki. So I've got to do more work, though. We got to get Sharif back on. All right, let's go to Kevin in Massachusetts. Kevin.
Hi, Jim.
Kevin.
The biotech stock, how's it going, man? The biotech stock I'm calling about has recently received European Commission approval for its breast cancer drug and has an earnings report tomorrow. The stock is PBYI, Puma Biotechnology.
You know, I have historically liked this, but I'm not going to put a gun to my head. I want to see what they say. You know how often these things are really dictated by what they report. So to be so presumptuous as to be able to say what they're going to say ahead of time, I can't do that. I need to go to Jonathan in California. Jonathan.
Hey, Jim, I just want to thank you for everything that you do and helping us understand this volatile market. My question is, should we start nibbling on some Costco?
I think you can buy a little Costco. It's held up the best of any of these. And the ones I like, Costco, I like Kohl's, and I like Walmart. I think those are all pretty good. I also like Target. So I think it fits the pattern of what I think it's okay to buy. Let's go to Mitch in Arizona. Mitch!
Hi, Jim.
Yo, Mitch, what's up?
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate. Can you believe it? Yeah, I think they've let us do some screen passes. It stretches the field. We're finally good. And actually thinking about picking up Smallwood. Sorry, that's probably off key. What's up?
Exact Sciences. Are you a buyer?
Good quarter. Better than expected. Still a big short position. I like the numbers. Let's go to Wenzel in Florida. Wenzel.
Booyah, Kramer. Oh, yeah. A very happy Halloween.
So,
greetings to you from Coral Springs, Florida.
Okay.
Hey, got a question. I have a pretty good sized position in XPO Logistics.
Okay, XPO reported at the close and they had a bankruptcy. One of their clients filed for bankruptcy. It looks like that's going to bring the stock down 4. They just hired a buddy of mine, Matty Fassler, out of Goldman, who's a really, really smart guy. Brad Jacobs doing a good job. I think the weakness caused by this bankruptcy might be an opportunity to buy, buy, buy. Let's go to Vinny in Illinois. Vinny.
Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Vin. How are you?
ALGN Align Technology.
That was not a good quarter. My friend Herb Greenberg has done quality work, and this did surprise me. Finally, the competition is caught up to them, and there are other companies that want to be against Invisalign, and they did not do the number, and that was shocking to me. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
The single most positive thing we've seen over the past couple of days, something could actually trigger a big rally. It's not the remarkable rebound in the averages themselves or even some strong earnings. We didn't see that many. Nope, the most heartening development this week was actually from a company that reported a pretty bad quarter. When a company reports awful numbers and its stock falls, nobody cares, right? That's business as usual. But when you report awful numbers and your stock surges higher to be one of the biggest gainers in the S&P 500, well, that's a classic signal that the psychology of the market may be changing, and changing for the better. It's a very important signal that many, like me, were looking for, and we got it yesterday morning from Masco, the giant buildings and material company, and I think it carried over through the day yesterday and through today. If you scroll through the headlines about this maker of kitchen and bath fixtures, you'll see endless stories recounting how badly Masco's doing. Hey, it makes sense. Housing's slowing, raw costs are rising, Fed's tightening, tariffs are expanding. Of course, Masco's numbers are coming down, right? They have to. Right up front, management cut their full-year earnings forecast. Now, this whole year, Masco has been what I call a terrific short, almost an annuity. Stock's currently down 35% from its highs in January. But every so often, we'll reach an inflection point, a point where the bad news is totally baked in and a short becomes a long. And that's what happened to Masco yesterday and it reverberated throughout its group. They cut numbers and the stock rallied more than 7%. This is an important tell, people, an important tell for the broader market. So I want you to understand how it happened and why, give you the context so you can spot them yourself. For starters, you need to know that Masco is a very well-run company with excellent financial discipline and really great slots in the big box stores, especially Home Depot. But because it's so heavily tied to the ailing housing market, this was one of the worst performing stocks around coming into the quarter. Between the slowdown in housing caused by higher interest rates and the rising raw costs caused by tariffs, Masco has been crushed. So the analysts were loaded for bear, and I don't mean bear, B-E-H-R, which is their paint business. Wall Street was ready to trash this thing 9 ways to Sunday, but they didn't hear the story they were expecting. First, it turns out that raw costs for Masco have peaked. Wood, copper, zinc, even titanium dioxide, the key paint ingredients, a whitener, they're all coming down. When demand dries up, commodity prices tend to fall off a cliff, but that was unexpected, and it is going to bolster Masco's bottom line next year. Second, while housing has undoubtedly slowed, the repair and remodeling business has actually gotten stronger because when people are reluctant to buy new homes thanks to higher mortgage rates, they spend more on renovations. Of course, we know that home equity loans have also gotten more expensive, but the job market's gotten so strong that most people don't need to take out a loan to renovate. Finally, and I think this is what I think no one expected, big companies like Masco, they have both an ability to pass on tariffs and to profit from them. Get this. I got to quote this at length because it's so important. They had a statement on the call that just stunned me. They wrote, "We import approximately $600 million of components and finished goods that come under the tariffs." And then they go on, "If the 301 tariffs, their name, rise to 25%, as is planned on January 1, this would amount to approximately $150 million of inflation, or roughly 2.7% of our annual cost of goods sold. This is less than the amount of raw material and other inflation we effectively dealt with in 2018, end quote. In other words, Masco dealt with worse this past year and sales held up fine. What else? Quote, "We believe this amount of additional cost is manageable through a combination of price increases, supplier negotiations, supply chain repositioning, and other internal productivity measures," end quote, means, hey, listen, don't cut our numbers too deep because we could beat them. And then here's the coup de grace. Masco tells us it's going to shift production from China to other countries in Southeast Asia over time, can't do it tomorrow, and to its plants in Indiana, Tennessee, California, North Carolina, and Texas. But the competition? Oh, how about this? How about this, people? Quote, "Many competitors, such as private labels, source nearly 100% of their products from China. So we would have a competitive advantage against these competitors," end quote. In other words, if you're nimble like Masco, the China tariffs can give you a real edge in your private label competition. Put it all together, and you got a stock that's down 32% for the year, even as its raw costs are now going down. Its end markets are holding up thanks to repair and remodeling demand, and its supply chain is strong enough that the tariffs may actually allow the company to crush its private label competition. That's how a stock like Masco managed to rally on seemingly horrific news. And I bet it's got more room to run. And that's how you get a bottom in a terrible group. Stick with Cramer. All right, they did it again. They pronounced Fang dead. Now, let me tell you, Fang has been the greatest thing that I've ever come up with when it comes to the stocks. What I'm upset about is the linkage by the ETF. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, I am proud that I identified them 5 years ago, and you've made a killing. And RIP to them? No way. Matter of fact, I like them. Maybe down here, a little more than ever. Like I said, as always, the bull market silver, I promise I'll find it just for you, right here, man, buddy. I'm Jim Cramer, and I will see you. Happy Halloween, and I will see you tomorrow.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.